Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is awesome to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Do we have the greatest music in podcasting history, or what?
Not only that, we have the greatest show in podcasting history.
That song just rocks. I love that song. Catrera did a nice job on that song. Sammy Hagar's the man, and so is Catrera.
Well, it's good that he did one good thing in his whole life, so I'll have that to tell his grandchildren.
Yeah.
But speaking of Catrera, he's actually running late. I got a text saying he was picking his nephews up from the airport and he'd be calling in shortly, but he was calling in a little late.
Okay. Well, that's
good. He did all that praising and kiss-assing for nothing. He didn't even hear it.
He'll hear it. Did a fine job.
But, before we get going, I gotta ask, what's with, you know, I thought you were a godly man, Craig. You're wishing death and pain on Brian Alvarez and Lance Storm.
No. See, when Granny read the question, it was more of who would she put out first. My question to Granny was, if Lance and Brian were both on fire, who would you dump the water on first? And it wasn't a question of watching Lance and Brian burn. It was, who's her favorite? I dare to say it's Lance Storm.
I would imagine, too. But I actually wouldn't mind seeing Brian burning alive. So, you know.
Wow. See, that's not the hatred that I had towards it. I was merely asking who her favorite was, not so much death and destruction and flesh falling off bone or anything like that. But, you know, hey, take it how you want it, I guess. And no, I was not in a bad mood, Finny, when I wrote that question. Not that you'll ever hear this.
Yeah, that was actually pretty funny.
Thank you. I thought it was
Craig, did you actually ever send me that guy's number?
I did. look in your messages. It's just between you and I, not the one between you, Catrera, and I.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the kind of producer I am. Yes, I know you have it. Which is going to make for awkward conversation when you're calling the man and I'm left on the line solo.
When did you actually... I see it. When did you actually tell him we were calling?
I told him we'd call about 5 after or so, which is... You know, like in a minute.
Okay.
But we could stretch out a little bit and make sure Catrera's here.
We'll get back on the Blog Talk thing and make sure he's back.
Yeah.
Okay. He's not back yet. But what a fucked up week for news.
Yeah, a lot of money exchanging hands and not going to the right people.
Yeah, and just a lot of shading that's happening this whole weekend, man. It's just you think one story was crazy, and then the other story gets even worse.
Yeah, and you know, to be honest with you, I haven't been caught up on the whole Kamala story.
Okay,
I know that he's in need of funds because he's not working and he's had both of his legs amputated and so forth and so on. And I have heard some rumblings about him not, you know, getting the money that people have been designated to him. What's the update on that?
Well, we'll actually get into that, but because it's actually a big, complicated story. So we'll make that like our second topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's actually a lot of shit on there. It's actually, a lot of people look bad. It's actually pretty crazy here. But I'll go ahead and try calling our guest here.
Okay.
It's going to take me a minute or two, so I hope you're prepared, Craig. This is your big chance to step up and see what you can do.
I'll do my best.
All right, well, I'll be back.
All right. Well, it's just you and my sexy voice, listener. How are you doing today? Good to have you on. Have you listening to our show, especially if you're listening live. Just me and you. I'm actually kind of upset because one Oliver Kopp is less than 30 minutes away from my house right now. He is doing the Twin Peaks Festival. What is the Twin Peaks Festival, you say? Well, just as it says, it's a festival about the movie Twin Peaks, and it's just, like I said, about 30 minutes from my house, and I wanted to get together with one Oliver Kopp, but he has not called me. So, Oliver Kopp, I know you're having some cherry pie somewhere in North Bend. Put down the fork, my friend. Give Craig a call. Want to hang out with you. He's a great man, Oliver Kopp. Met him for the first time last year, and in Florida. Awesome man. Friend him on Facebook. He's a heck of a guy. He used to do some work for a little company called the WWE. Anyway, what's taking Ed so long to dial that phone, you say?
Craig, could you introduce our guest, please?
Sure thing, Ed. Not since the days of Bonnie and Clyde has a heist been more talked about than the heist in Iowa last week. Our guest tonight is the owner of Magnum Pro Wrestling, and he was right in the middle of all the controversy last week. Please welcome to the show, Nathan Blodgett.
Hi, how's it going?
How'd I do on that last name?
You did all right, actually. It's better than most people do.
Okay, good.
Well, go ahead and start it off, Chris.
Sorry.
No, go right ahead.
Oh, I just, wherever you guys, want to know about, I mean, I can start from the beginning, kind of fill you in, let you know what happened, or...
Just go ahead and give us, basically, if you want to just go ahead and give us your timeline, and that way everyone can get a good picture of what actually happened.
Okay. Well, I mean, everything started out all right. I got the whole weekend set up. I own Magnum Pro in Council Bluffs. So, I got the whole thing set up with 3XW on Friday night, Magnum Pro on Saturday, and then Adrenaline Pro Wrestling on Sunday. And, I booked this whole thing back in April, got everything set up, everything was agreed upon, all that stuff, the usual stuff that comes to wrestling. I deal with it because I wrestle as JP Strife, so, I work both sides of the fence, so. Friday night goes really, really well. These guys show up in Des Moines. Everything's fine and dandy. Everything goes really well. It's good. Saturday it comes along, and I've got a training seminar that I have Davey and Kyle do, and Tony steps in on it as well and does some stuff. And then Saturday, training seminar goes well. All the guys there, they learn some stuff, I've made comments on, how I didn't really find some of the stuff they did, quite as professional. I felt some of that stuff they did and said wasn't the best. One of those being openly bashing CM Punk and Kevin Steen. Obviously Kevin Steen's Ring of Honor champion, place Davey used to work. You know, so things like that, I kind of deem that unprofessional because, you know, if I was working with some guys, I wouldn't be like, well, hey, this guy sucks, you know, knowing that people watch this person and strive to learn from this person, you know, because they're, you know, right now they are actually the best at what they do. You know, they're the champions, they're the most recognized, they're the ones making the money, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Davey was in the ROH champion spot before, so, I mean, I would feel that he would, you know, he would understand that. So, in the course of that, too, in the course of that training camp, you know, he sits the guys down and he's talking to them about, you know, like working and doing stuff like that, you know, wrestling-related things. And I overhear the comment, you know, on these small indie shows, I don't work very hard. Now, again, that should have been the sign right then and there. That should have been what clicked with me. But you know, Davey made direct eye contact with me and just, you know, boom. But not tonight. You know, tonight I'm going to work really hard. You know, so he made the save there, you know, kind of that little reassurance. And so I didn't think anything of it. What about today? You know, there's been a whole lot, you know, said like the actions on Saturday and Sunday. You know, the most notable was Tony Cozina basically shooting on a 16-year-old kid.
No.
Ryan Kidd.
Just to interrupt real quick, I actually haven't seen the video myself. Could you actually tell us what the actual shooting was?
Cozina stretched him. You know, and I'm not against that so much as I am when it got down to the point where the pile drivers that he gave him were not called. They were very dangerous. It was very unprotected. I believe Adam Pearce is one person who has shared his thoughts, you know, very openly about that incident. And, you know, I agree with Adam. I agree with Adam fully. You know, I respect the hell out of Adam Pearce. And, you know, I look at his thoughts on it as something that a lot of people should check out. But, you know, it eventually got to the point where after Ryan Kidd kicked out of the pile drivers, just, you know, in reality, I mean, he didn't honestly know what was going on. That whole match wasn't cleared with me. You know, the reason I booked that match is 7 years prior, I wrestled Tony. And as a little green kid in the business, I learned so much. So
right.
I booked Ryan Kidd against Tony so that, you know, Kidd would get the same opportunity that I had, you know, to learn a wealth of knowledge. And obviously that I guess, you know, I don't want to say backfired because, I mean, it's just what happened was unfortunate. But the finish came. The finish was legit when Tony Cozina choked Ryan Kidd unconscious in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you really want to look at it.
You put like a triangle.
Yeah, triangle. That's right, yeah. I mean, that was a legitimate choke. I mean, I didn't find out until later. Actually, I didn't find out until Sunday morning that a kid was legitimately unconscious. Like, he was just out. Like, I mean, that's it's unacceptable in my eyes.
Yeah.
Now, this whole thing came about because the kid had posted some things about Tony on his Facebook page or on his Twitter. Am I correct on this?
Well, partly. Kid cut a promo, you know, building up the match. You know, what wrestlers are supposed to do. He cut his promo, and I didn't find anything. I didn't find anything wrong with it. Everybody I know didn't find anything wrong with it. You know, people have been wrestling longer than Tony didn't find anything wrong with it. He was also, his Twitter bio said, like, the fakest fake wrestler ever. You know, I mean, everybody knows wrestling's fake. Our job is to suspend disbelief. You know, entertain people, get people into it. You know, it's not a real fight. You know, and I love professional wrestling with all my heart. I've put the last 8 years of my life into it. And, you know, I used the analogy on another radio show the other night that I stood across the ring from BJ Whitmer and handed him the IWA light heavyweight title. And, you know, I looked at him and said, hey, don't sell the belt for cocaine. I mean, I would find that to be more offensive than telling a guy he's old. I mean, and that's in my eyes. You know, I mean, that's the kind of Bill Dangle, that's kind of stuff that Bill Pike. Well, you know, if he talks about Cozina being old, then, you know, people might want to, you know, older people might, you know, Tony's time back, like, the old guys should show the kid what's up, or all the young guys would be like, yeah, the guy's old, it's time for the kid to shine, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
So that was the very big thing that came out of Saturday night. There were a lot of unprofessional tidbits, like members of Team Ambition standing behind the curtain, you know, within audible range of, you know, the fans just yelling respect. You know, I think since then, Cozina has tweeted the YouTube video of the Adam Sandler respect skit or something like that. I guess that's what it was in reference to. But it's still, it took away from the show. It took away from the people mm-hmm. watching the show because they were hearing all this. And, you know, even if it's that moment's distraction, you know, they're looking away or not paying attention to what's going on in the ring. And that's, you know, I like I said, another action I deem unprofessional.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't defend Tony Kazina because I wasn't there and didn't see any of this, but I have been in the ring with Tony, and he's been nothing but a pro and nothing but upstanding, great guy. He wrestled up here in the Northwest for many years, and I've been on many shows that he's been on. This is the first time I was really shocked.
Sorry, that happened. Yeah, I mean, I was too. Like, when I learned about it, because I didn't see the match. I actually was going on with Davey right after their match, so I wasn't paying attention to it. Okay. So I didn't get to see it. And the crowd seemed into it. The crowd was into it, so I could only hear what was going on. I'm like, oh, the crowd seems really into this. Like, you know, even after Tony's promo, maybe they are out there doing something. Maybe you know, kids getting stuff in, whatever, you know. That's fine. And I thought the same thing about Tony, man. When I wrestled Tony, like I said, it was a great experience for me. I really enjoyed it. He is very, very good at what he does, but yeah. I just, like I said, I cannot agree with those actions and, you know, how he decided to take matters into his hands. The best thing people can do is, I mean, if they watch the video and want their opinions on it, is definitely check out Adam Pearce's note on Facebook or some of the stuff he's tweeted about it. And, you know, I think Adam's story about his experience with Bull Payne is mm-hmm. definitely, you know, I think a more viable way on how the whole situation should have been handled. So.
Okay. Cool.
So in Sunday night, you know, as Kyle O'Reilly stated in his blog, as the world turns, it brings us to Sunday. Sunday was where my personal friends and promoters, obviously the whole situation with the money stealing thing, I left very early in the morning to head to Milo, Iowa, because I go and I work out with some of the younger guys that, you know, train before the APW shows and things of that nature. And so I left about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I texted Tony the address and time the doors opened at 9:15. So, I mean, they knew what time they needed to be there, you know, things of that nature. And we're driving, you know, and we're getting there, and we get there, and I'm working out with the guys. It's like, it's about 1:56, almost 2 o'clock, that I get a text on my phone from Tony. Hey, man, Davey wants to switch the match to an 8-man, so, you know, all of those guys can get in the ring with all of us, and, you know, so on and so forth. He's like, my foot hurts from Friday night, and Kyle seems to have done something to his back. Like, okay, well, let me talk to the promoter. And I talk to the promoter, he's like, well, that's really not what we talked about or agreed upon. He's like, if they'll take a cut in pay, I'll just change it and do the 8-man, you know, to accommodate them, and, you know, it'll work out a little better for me. So, yeah, okay, okay, you know. So I send that back to Tony, and Tony sends me back a text, and he's like, here's Davey's number. Had the promoter text him. There was a lot of back and forth that day, like a whole lot of back and forth between those guys. You know, it was at the point that he had him text Davey that I just kind of stepped out of it. You know, he came over to me and asked me questions every now and then. He's like, hey, well, what should we do about this? You know, what do they want? You know, what should we do? What should we do? Like, they went back and forth. First it was, okay, we'll do the pay cut. And then it was, oh, no, you know what? Let's just do the singles and get all of our money we were promised. And then, you know, it went back to, well, let's do a 6-man and then, you know, pay us the same amount. Like, it was just back and forth. And I could tell the promoter was frustrated. You know, everybody was frustrated. You know, it finally got to the point where they were like, well, we're 45 minutes away. We'll talk about it when we get there. Well, we're 20 minutes away. We'll talk about it when we get there. And then, you know, half hour later, oh, we're 45 minutes away, you know, when we get there. Now, these guys openly admit to being late to shows. You know, that's another thing. Me, personally, that's another thing I deem unprofessional. You know, it's just like actors or anything like that. Like, there's a call time where you have to be somewhere. It's part of your job. So, I mean, I feel like if I've ever been late to a show, which has only been a couple times, I have been on the phone with people, texting people, like making sure they know, like, almost minute by minute where I'm at, what's going on, and what time I'm going to be there. I hate not being to a show before doors open. It is a pet peeve of mine, and I'm usually there, like, an hour or 2 hours early. That's just how I operate. know, I know some people aren't that way, but I don't think being late to a show and especially being okay with it, you know, is feasible for a professional. One thing I will say, too, though, obviously, because the story's come out, you know, the money has been paid back since since all this. You know, I mean, that's an admirable thing. I'm not exactly sure who paid it back or anything like that. All I know is that the money was PayPal to the APW promoter. So, I mean, that's one step towards, you know, I would almost say, you know, making good on things. But, you know, it's still the whole action to me is unacceptable. So as these guys continue to go back and forth with things, finally the doors are open and the card has been shuffled like four or five times. And finally the promoter's like, he's like, I got to make the hard choice. He's like, I just can't. Like, this is just going back and forth. They just told me they're 45 minutes away again. So, again, that would put them there after showtime. And so he's just like, sorry, guys. He's like, I have to play from the card. And you guys just, you know, just go ahead and head home. Which the show, technically, I know they said they were like 7 hours in the middle of nowhere. It's actually the show that they were going to would have put them on the path to home. So all they really needed to do was just keep driving. But that all happens, and the guy's like, well, I believe it was at this point, it was Tony texting the promoter from Davey's phone. Uh-huh. And at this point, you know, Tony's like, well, you just can't cancel us. And the promoter was like, you know, I just did. You know, and it was right after that I got a text from Davey. Now, mind you, through this entire thing, this was the first time I have had contact with Davey on the phone. It was always Tony that was contacting me through everything, for addresses, you know, venues, stuff like that. It was always him that was contacting me. So this was the first time I'd actually talked to Davey on the phone, and he texted me, and he's like, hey, what's going on? At the same time seeing Davey's text, I see text from Tony, with Tony saying to me that, hey, are you at the show? This promoter's trying to pull a fast one on us. You know, I told Tony, I'm like, Tony, I'm sorry, but I don't think he's not trying to pull a fast one on you. You know, I believe he's justified in his actions. You know, you're going to have to take everything up with him. Mm-hmm. So this, I start speaking with Davey at this point. You know, and Davey's like, well, what's going on? And I'm like, hey, man, you guys have been talking with the promoter, and, like, I've stepped out of the situation. Like, I'm not handling it anymore, and, you know, I believe he's justified in his actions. And, you know, I think after that, the only reply I got back from Davey was, okay, well, we're on our way. We'll see you there. Okay, fine. These guys are on their way. Maybe they're close. Maybe they'll get here. We can salvage the matches. So I try to think positively. You know, and I know sure, the APW promoter, Jeremy, was still, you know, very torn about it because he didn't want to cancel it or cancel them. One of the things that I know, I believe it was Davey made light in his blog. I've hardly read it because I had a lot of people just give me the you know, kind of give me the cliff notes on Davey's blog. Davey had stated that the promoter was wanting to cancel him because of the draw. You know, and I've said before that I would personally vouch for him because I told him before everything got set up, I'm like, hey, just make sure, you know, you have everything taken care of ahead of time. Because that's kind of like my motto on things, like when I'm promoting events and putting on shows and things, I make sure everything's taken care of ahead of time. I'm not one of those promoters that, you know, that bank on the draw to pay the boys. Like, I don't believe that's the way to do business, so that's not what I do. And so he's like, yeah. He's like, hey, I got to take care of it. It's not a problem. You know, I'm pulling this out of my own pocket to take care of these guys, you know, so I know for sure they're taking care of it. And so I know that the quote-unquote excuse that Davey had written in his blog saying that, you know, the draw was an issue was not an issue at all. So it's literally after intermission. The first match after intermission is out there, and the scheduled match that Tony was supposed to be in is over and done with. The scheduled match that the student was supposed to be in is over and done with as well. So now the only two matches that could even really be salvaged is would have been Derek Cornell and Davey Richards and myself versus Kyle O'Reilly. And, you know, like 3 minutes before me and Kyle were supposed to go on, these guys finally show up. Davey comes in, basically grabs the promoter and goes outside and he's talking to him. So I'm just kind of quick helping the guy out. I'm like, hey, you're going to have to pull, you know, the three-way main event for the belt. You guys are going to have to go long. We're going to try to make this thing work. So negotiations are going on outside, and it's back and forth. And somebody comes back, and he's like, hey, it's getting really intense. It's getting really heated out there. Davey's talking about just kicking this dude's ass. And I'm like, all right, it's time to go outside. As I go outside to kind of oversee the situation and kind of watch to make sure nothing happens, You know, I hear Davey talk about how, you know, if he were to call Jim Cornette or his trainer, you know, that they'd be okay with them. They'd be okay with Davey beat his ass over this. Like, they were saying that he was disrespected and, you know, and things like that. And, you know, one of the things that I've stated throughout this whole thing is the fact that they spent all weekend talking about respect. But in my eyes, to actually respect professional wrestling and respect, you know, your place as a professional wrestler and doing your job properly, that, you know, you have to respect all aspects of the business, you know, like showing up on time, doing things like that. And so they, you know, he's outside preaching respect and that they were disrespected and things of that nature. And so finally Jeremy goes, okay, let's do this. You know, we've got one match going on right now. If you guys can hurry up and get dressed, you know, you and you talking to Davey, like, you and O'Reilly can work, you know, Strife and Cornell. And so they're like, you know, they come to the agreement. That's okay. They come to the agreement on the money. And Davey just says, I want to be paid up front so I can get this done and get my shit and get out of here. They go, okay. So, you know, they start coming in to get dressed. And, you know, it didn't click with me until later. And I'm upset it didn't click with me until later. But I'm watching out of the corner of my eye, you know, Tony pack up all their stuff, you know, and leave the building with it. And I'm like, you know, whatever. I'm more worried about trying to put this mess together. And I worked Davey the night before, so I figure, hey, I'll go out there. We'll do everything, and I'll just, you know, we'll just call it a fly. You know, it'll be whatever. It'll be fine. These guys are good. You know, we listen well. We'll learn, and we'll get stuff done. Everything will be okay. And so as, you know, we're going about this, you know, me and Davey chit-chat a little bit and kind of just like, hey, you know, you guys put the heat on us. Or I'll take the heat. You know, I trust you guys. You just beat the shit out of me. I'll fight back. You know, whatever. You know, normal wrestling stuff. And so it's like, okay, and then he's like, well, who's over? And I turn to my guy, I don't know. I yell at Jeremy, I'm like, Jeremy, who's up? He goes, so you guys. And I'm like, all right, so Davey, babyface is up. You know, all right, we'll do that. So we work out the finish, we do whatever. We get ready to go out there, and the guys come back from the title match, Derek Cornell's music hits, and he goes out there. And I'm getting ready and, you know, trying to loosen up, trying to shake the cobwebs, you know, loosen the nerves up, and all of a sudden my music starts playing. And at this point in time, one of the other boys overheard Davey go, forgot my wrist tape. Davey goes outside. You know, as I'm getting ready to walk through the curtain, I turn around, and all I see is Kyle just beating feet. Like, I literally, all I see is Kyle's back feet taking off out the door. You know, and as I'm sitting there literally stunned, I'm like, wow, these guys just fucking took off with all the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's literally what happened. Obviously, the rest is, I don't even know if we're really going to call it history because they're still making light of it. But, you know, as things are posted online and things of that nature, I mean, there's pictures of their posts on Facebook just making light of the fact that they took off with the money. Kyle's blog, you know, openly admits that they took off with the money. Davies does too. I mean, it's just, like I said, my biggest thing about the whole thing was how unprofessional it was, how unprofessional some of their actions were. And, you know, I just snapped. I wanted people to know about this. You know, I don't want people like this to get away with this, especially in a business that I hold so dear to myself, and I know others do too. Like, something just kind of took over, and this whole thing's kind of happened and blew up a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was like one of the top Trump indie talents. You know, I mean, he's one of those people who would be in the magnet as far as like coming to the show. Damian Richards would have to be at the top. So, I mean, if you can't trust the top guy, I mean, how can you trust anyone else?
Yeah, you're really breaking up. I only caught a little bit of that.
Well, like, Damian's like the top guy, like one of the top indie talents, you know, like out there. So, like, if you know, the top, one of the top guys is doing that, it's like, how can you trust anyone else?
I still didn't catch that, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, your phone's real bad.
There it is. Sorry.
In the match with Ryan Kidd and Tony Kazina, have you talked to Ryan to discuss what was discussed about the match before they went out there?
Nothing. Nothing was discussed. Kidd told me that Kidd went up to shake Tony's hand, and Tony just kind of blew him off, and they didn't talk about anything. So, I mean, Kyle just assumed, all right, we're going to call it out there is basically how things were set up, and then obviously what happened. So Kidd told me there was nothing talked about for this match.
To be honest, I've been watching the match on YouTube, and I just saw the two pile drivers, and that is the most unprofessional thing I've ever seen in my life.
I see. That's like I said. It was at that point. I could understand stretching somebody and doing something like that. Yeah, that's not really what we wanted from the match, but you mean
yeah.
It definitely got to a point where it was those pile drivers, and what followed is unacceptable.
My God, I cannot believe that. That doesn't look like the guy that I've been around. I'll just say that.
Exactly.
That's horrible. Have you been contacted by ROH? Has ROH contacted any of you guys in any way, shape, or form about the whole thing?
Nope. No. I sent out emails the following Monday morning after everything. I sent emails to just news sites and things of that nature. I never contacted Ring of Honor directly. Somebody gave me an email to contact Sinclair, but I never contacted Sinclair. I just contacted the people to make sure that the story got out, is what I did.
And
I'm obviously sure they're aware of it, so.
Well, sure. I don't know how they couldn't be. It's crazy the way I've read Kyle's blog, I've read Davey's retraction or his statement to where he actually was the one that paid the money back, and I've been around professional wrestling a lot, and I can't really, you know, I've met a lot of shady promoters, and with that said, I've met a ton of shady wrestlers.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. I worked for Gary Apony and Rotten a lot. So,
okay. So, I mean, how do we squash this? I mean, I can't discredit anything you're saying, and with that said, I can't discredit anything they say either.
Yeah, personally, I probably will never squash it. I'm sure in time it's going to die down. I mean, that's just how it is. How the wrestling word is, you know, there's someone that's the flavor of the month one month, and it's somebody new the next. Just like this story, it could be the hot shit maybe halfway through August, and then that'll be something else, you know. So I know it's going to go away, but personally, I honestly don't. I don't see any reason for me standing up the way I did for these guys and standing up for what I believe in. I have no reason to come back and respect these gentlemen. You know, they would have to do a lot. In my eyes, to redeem themselves, and I just don't see it happening. I was actually privy to a text message that was forwarded to me earlier today that Davey actually sent the APW promoter stating that, you know, hey, we could really make some serious money off this because the heat on my boys in Iowa right now is huge. Well, I responded back to Jeremy plain and simply, no, that's not something that I would even take part in due to the simple fact that once that happens, once something would actually be, you know, quote unquote worked, everybody
right.
will look at the situation. Everybody look at the whole situation and say, well, that was just one big work. And I refuse to allow that to happen because that's not the situation. You know, I've been contacted by a lot of people, a lot of really high up people in professional wrestling, asking me if this is the greatest angle they've ever heard of, or if it's a shoot. Yeah, I actually got one text that was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard of. Please tell me that this is your idea and is an awesome work. And I said, no, it's a shoot. I'm ashamed that it even happened. You know, it's like I stated in my promo. It's just I feel disgraced to have shared a ring with those guys, and it upsets me greatly that I even had to say that. But that's just how I feel, and you know, I would never imagine doing that. I mean, maybe I was raised differently. You know, I've got a preacher for a father and a school nurse for a mom. You know, I had one of those upbringings that most people, when I tell them I'm a professional wrestler, kind of blows their mind. But, you know, maybe it's part, like I said, maybe it's part of my upbringing, but it's just, maybe at some point I'll be able to forgive them. Maybe at some point we'll be able to do business, but right now I'm sticking to how I feel about it because it's exactly how I feel. And it's, you know, I just.
After reading your original. After reading your original blog and listening to you and then actually seeing the video that backs up everything you've just said, I really have a hard time believing those other guys' Team Ambition.
you know, there's, it's not just my story, man. There's a lot of other people that were there when this happened. There were a lot of guys that were on all three nights of wrestling, guys that were on both nights, Saturday and Sunday, that saw everything, that witnessed everything. And, you know, like I said, it's not just my story. There's other people that will tell you everything that I'm telling you. I just feel, you know, like with one of my original, one of my Twitter rants that it hurts because it's three people that I looked up to greatly. One that I had learned from in the past that kind of shaped me into the professional wrestler that I am. One person that I hoped to learn from, and another person that I couldn't wait to step into the ring with and kind of just show the world, you know, and it's just, it sucks, but it happened.
So. Well, Nathan, well, you stayed on a lot longer than you were planning on, and we really appreciate that. Craig, you want to wrap it up?
Yes, I'll wrap it up right now. And you can check out Nathan at his kayfabe name, at Jason Strife on Twitter. And he's got some upcoming shows for Magnum Pro Wrestling. He'll be working on the 4th of this month and also on the 11th. And check out www.facebook.com/Magnum Wrestling. Check out them and all their shows. And Nathan, I want to thank you very, very much for doing the show today. I hope that I guess you can chalk this up as a learning experience and nothing more than that.
Yeah.
All
thank
right,
you, Greg. Thank you guys for having me on.
Hey, I appreciate it very much. Take care.
Hope
your next show goes well.
All right, yeah. All right, have a good night, guys.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Great.
Can you hear me? Is my phone sounding better?
No, your phone is horrid.
Okay, I'm going to put Alex's phone on the line, and then I'm going to call back in. So you and Alex talk. Alex, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, I'm going to call back. Can you guys talk? Okay.
Let me step outside. I'm sorry, I know it's unprofessional. I have a bad cell phone.
What's up, man?
Okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me better?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine, bro.
Okay, hey, this is Alex Goff. I host the show here at AndrewMarks.com, the Raw Reaction Show. What's up, Craig? What's up, Ed? What's up, Couture? Is this Jason Strife on the air?
He just left. Ed's phone. Is,
okay.
It's just you and me. It's just you and me right now because Ed's phone is horrid and he's calling back in. Believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay. Well, Craig, I mean, you did the interview with the guy. Was at any part the Tony Kazina shooting on the 16-year-old kid brought up?
While he told the story and said the video was on YouTube, I found the video while he was talking and watched it. He got stretched and two of the stiffest pile drivers I've ever seen. Dangerous.
See, I mean, you know, and I mean, I respect your opinion, Craig. I know you wrestled, and I wrestled for a very minute time in my life. But, I mean, I watched that video, and then also the two guys, they do have a backstory. Tony Kazina, he's at least familiar. I can guarantee he's at least familiar with Ryan Kidd from San Diego, from the Southern California area. And I find it very – it's either – very hard for me to believe, or it was gross negligence, because if anyone was aware that Tony may have been slightly upset at something Ryan Kidd had said in a promo, then maybe someone should have allowed, you know, him to avoid that situation. I mean, you've been in locker rooms, you've heard people whisper, like, you know what, that guy right there, he kind of upset me. Maybe we'll get out of control tonight, or maybe you haven't been in a locker room that's happened. I can't think of any, too many times I've seen it, honestly. But, I mean, if anyone in that locker room heard that 16-year-old was going to be harmed in any way, yeah, they're pieces of crap. You know?
Oh, I totally agree.
It's very hard for me to believe that no one heard Tony say that. And that's why my meter kind of does go toward that was an angle. Like, what happened the third night, it kind of seems like when you hear everyone discuss it, Davey and Kyle haven't really denied it. And honestly, Davey, we don't know where he's at with his career because he kind of seems up and down right now if he even wants to do it. But Kyle, he's an incredible talent, Craig. I'm sure you'll agree.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle's an incredible talent. I mean, it seems like he really has the most to lose. I mean, Tony Kazina, while he's, you know, very good in the ring, I mean, how many times do we see Tony Kazina pop up on high-profile bookings? You know, not that often. So
right.
This is really most damaging to Kyle, in my opinion. But the 16-year-old, I mean, I kind of don't know where I stand on the fence. I mean, I trust your opinion. Like I said, you saw it. You believe it was a shoot. I kind of don't believe it from what I saw. What were your opinions on, I guess, the next night heist?
Well, hold on. Can you guys tell me, how does my phone sound?
Oh, he's back, and it's much better. That's great.
Okay.
Oh, hey, what's going on, Ed?
Oh, pretty good. Couture is also on the list. How are you doing tonight, Couture?
I'm fine. Were those the same guys that robbed Delilah?
It might have been. The thing that stands out most to me is I read the guy's story on Brian's site, and then I see the video that backs up everything he said. I tend to lean towards video evidence matching up to with his story. The way Tony was stretching this guy, I know Tony Cozina, and I've been in the ring with Tony Cozina, and he's a great dude. I sat across the dinner table with him. I mean, I know the dude. That dude I saw in the ring was not the Tony Cozina I know. And I don't want to say he shot on the kid the whole match, because I don't think that's true, but those pile drivers that he gave the kid were dangerous. The stretching, you know, everybody gets stretched. I'll just leave it at that. But those pile drivers looked out of control. He didn't even give the kid time to set up.
Another small kid, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how's it even legal for him to wrestle at 16? I mean, I know you can have a regular job at 16, but don't you have to, like, get a license or?
It goes from state to state, commission to commission. It really depends. I mean, they could have been on tribal land or something, too. It's hard to say.
Funny, I was going to say, in San Diego, actually, where Ryan Kidd and still wrestles today, he actually trained at the same place that I trained at. So I never had one interaction with a state athletic commission in California. So I can say that in California, at least, there's no real regulation on professional wrestling there. And then Iowa, I don't know. Is the cornfield supposed to regulate it? Like, I don't know. Like, who would be even there to regulate it?
Yeah, that is true.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me on. I just, you know, and ultimately, I guess that's just the point I wanted to make, is that if anyone backstage heard, and, you know, like I said, I respect Craig's opinion. I watched it. I didn't see it. But, you know, I respect Craig's opinion. If he saw anything kind of fishy, but if anyone heard anything backstage and they didn't stop the match or go out there, I mean, there's a reason why there's a referee in a match. You know what I mean? So if anyone saw anything and no one stuck up for the kid, then they're pieces of crap. Period. You know what I mean? Just period. Piece of crap.
Let me give you this, and this will be my last point on the whole thing. I was in the locker room the night Leviathan shot on this kid. I can't remember what his real name was, but we called him the lesbian assassin. The Lebanese assassin. That's what it was. And Tim Flowers told this guy to go out there and stretch him. Said he didn't like his mouth. And this is the promoter, by the way. Didn't like his mouth, didn't like his attitude, didn't want him around anymore. And Paul went out there and stretched him. And nobody told him. Nobody said a word. We were in the face locker room. They were in the heel locker room. So that was not an option. It does happen. I mean, it happened to Bret Hart. So it can and does happen. So I guess that's my final word on that.
All right, guys. Well, have a good night.
Talk to you, bud.
Leviathan, was that Batista? That was not Batista, was it?
No, that was Paul Lazenby.
Okay.
The guy who pants Brian in the Battle Royal.
Okay, that's right.
And he was also a stuntman on the greatest TV show in the history of mankind, Battlestar Galactica.
And got his own from Boston.
And is probably the most famous MMA fighter with the worst record.
And Steve Austin on the ROH DVDs.
He made a legend out of being a guy who would go in and put up a fight but get his ass kicked. But put up a good fight well before he got it, before he lost.
This has been the wackiest story that I have heard in such a long time, and I don't want to say it brings me great joy, but it makes things interesting. You know what I mean?
Cool. And it's
a lot of weird talk this week.
The thing that makes it not hard to believe is it's just the fact that Davey just has, he just comes off as a dick.
Thank
you.
You
know? He's been on, he was nice enough to do our show one time. And he answered all our questions, but even he's one of those guys that just comes off as a hard ass. And I don't want to say a bully, but a guy who's not going to take any shit and not afraid to start shit. Like, I believe there was a show, and I'm sure, and Brian was there, and Rojibles, Gigi was in the back in the dressing room for some reason, and Davey kind of started giving him shit about who are you and why are you back here, and Brian actually had to say, yeah, he's cool, and then Davey left him alone. But Davey, he's a guy, you don't even have to hear him talk. You know, you just kind of look at him, and he just kind of gives you that vibe, like that vibe that he's looking at you like, fuck you.
Yeah. And let me say this as well. Myself, Brian, Vince, and Buddy went to a show one time, and he was working. And you remember, Davey started out working with Tim Flowers. We went to the show. He was mad dogging Brian as soon as Brian walked in. I mean, let's be honest, Brian's a small man. And I'm there, and all of a sudden he sees Buddy. His expression changes. Oh, Buddy, good to see you. And, oh, I know these guys, and blah, 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 blah. And but from the minute he saw Brian to the minute that he saw Buddy, his whole demeanor changed because he realized who we were. So he looked at Brian, made an assumption, and, you know, he might have been looking at Vinny too. I don't know. But he looked at our crew, made an assumption, and he looked like he was going to rip somebody's head off, saw Buddy, and then everything was fine. Who does that?
Assholes.
Okay, then. So, I don't know the guy. I've met the guy a few times, but my opinion of him is just as Couture just said. And I'll leave it.
Yeah. And I remember one time, Buddy was on the show, and he just, could tell he just wasn't the biggest Davey fan as far as personally. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, right now, as far as independent talent that's not in WWE or TNA, Davey probably is the best, most talented guy out there. But unfortunately, he has a different mentality, you know, and, you know, he's not afraid to
speak
his mind.
Came off in that Hot Spots preview. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I did not.
Yeah, but that's a preview. You don't know exactly what the conversation was or what he said. I mean, that totally could be totally out of context and not be as bad as it sounded. But the way they presented it, yeah, he came off like a dick talking shit about his bosses and his company. Mm-hmm. So... And then he's go ahead.
I'm just going to say it again. From what I know about Tony Kazina and about Davey Richards and about what I saw and what was written, I have to side with the promoters. I have to side with the company. Kyle O'Reilly seems like a great guy, but he needs to dump his friends.
He came off good in his blog, I thought, explaining everything. A little better than the other two.
Yeah, Davey kind of was real, how you say it, contradictory or kind of hypocritical as far as, like, some of the things he was saying, but he was actually, in writing the thing, he was doing what he was kind of complaining about, in a way.
Yeah.
Not sure how to explain it right, but, yeah, he did not come off. I've only heard clips of the Kyle O'Reilly, and he actually did come off like he was in a bad situation, because what's he going to do? He's going to tell Davey no?
Right.
You know, I mean, he owes a big chunk of his career to Davey Richards, training him and being his mentor.
Sure.
And, you know, he got this job because of being part of Davey's group, you know what I mean? So he was in a really, really bad situation, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure he knew it was wrong, and he probably didn't want to do it, but it's like,
they knew it was wrong. You know, you can't. There's nothing you can say to justify just like running out with the money like that, and you know, driving off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the very least, like, they paid it back. But of course, it was after the news broke. So, but I mean, at least, you know, the money was returned. So, I mean,
hey, let's be honest. If this hadn't have been so publicized and so out there, they would have pocketed that money. Come on.
Yeah. But the thing is, we really can't be, like, super, super hard on them because, you know, this isn't – some of our heroes are famous for this. Bruiser Brody, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, I don't think Bruiser Brody ever grabbed the money and ran, but, you know, he was known to be –
I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Well, who's going to stop him if he –
Austin Idol was famous for shit like this, wasn't he?
He was kind of like, it's just like, you know, there's some guys that just don't care, or some guys that
he'd walk
just,
out of
gonna...
Memphis like 15 times a year.
Yeah. And then there's also like the reverse case, like where the Sheik's territory was pretty much dying, and they weren't doing any business at all, and they brought in Terry and Dory Funk. And they started working on a program, which led to, like, you know, the big match. In the big match, it was like a packed house, and they were for once going to make some money again. And right after the match was over, the Sheik's son comes in and says they robbed the box office and took all the money. So basically, that was the opposite, you know, of what happened. So. I'm sure this used to be pretty commonplace back in the day. You just didn't have the internet and Twitter to put it out there so fast.
Yeah, to hear about it 5 minutes after it happens nowadays.
Yeah. So, it's a crazy situation. Oh, go ahead.
It's messed up. I mean, let's be honest. The wrestling world that we like, the business that we like, is a messed up business.
It's a horrible business.
Yeah, it really is. I mean,
I've been watching it for like about 30 years, and I mean, I love watching. I love the business, but I won't deny it's fucked up.
Yeah, and speaking of being fucked up, let's go ahead and get to our next subject, which is even worse, you know. And
AW is a rape joke.
The what?
No, that's no, I had to rewind it because I wasn't even really paying attention to the commentary or to what he said, and I rewound it to the beginning of the match, and I said, holy shit, can't believe he said that.
Hey, let's go into that right now. Couture, this last week, he wants to do a little segment on the show basically saying, let's just call him the moron of the week. And the stupid thing he said. So Couture, I will write up a proper intro to this segment, and I will get it for you next week. But right now, Couture has the dumbest quote of the week. Couture, go.
I have to go to Twitter and see all that hashtag bullshit. Oh God, dug my own hole here. Okay. AEW, he came out. You know, he's doing the mic gimmick where he's a. He's the manager or the agent or whatever, and, you know, he's got the live mic, which is actually pretty funny, I think. And he said, I think Titus O'Neil was in the ring with Kofi Kingston, and he says, Titus O'Neil is like Kobe Bryant in a hotel room in Colorado, unstoppable. And I guess, I don't remember exactly what the story, but there was like a sexual assault charge against Kobe, like years and years ago or something.
Yeah,
a few years ago, supposedly he raped a girl. I actually tend to believe, he did it because he's a Laker, and, you know, Lakers do fuck up shit like that, so I'm pretty sure he did it.
Probably.
Yeah, so he said that, and then I wasn't paying attention, but then they came back, and immediately Michael Cole apologized for what he said, and so I had to rewind it and get through it again to see what he said in the system.
Right.
You can't say that. I'm all for jokes, but you know, the company you're working for with all these sponsors they got, this PG stuff, you can't say shit like that.
Right.
That is true because of the sponsors and all that. You make it to where you can't say it, but honestly, it didn't bother me. To me, because I didn't hear it either. I heard someone reference it on Facebook, and I'm like, what is he talking about? What did I miss here? So then when I did replay it, I just laughed my ass off when I heard it. I thought it was the funniest fucking thing.
I'm like, it's awful hard to offend me, but, you know, I don't know. Just a joke like that, whatever. And, of course, he apologized. Apparently, he was going around apologizing to everybody in the back. He worked SmackDown for some reason. I think if Jericho gets suspended for 30 days for kicking the Brazilian flag, he should at least get a 30-day vacation.
Well, they could have arrested Jericho if they wanted to. So.
And he was back with the live mic the next night.
Yeah.
But that was on SmackDown.
Here's the funny thing. There's three of us on this line right now. And I heard the joke live and went, ooh, that was dumb. And you guys didn't hear it, but only when the apology was given that you had to rewind and check it out. I wonder if this would have been a big story if they hadn't apologized.
I don't know, because sometimes when I got it on, you know, I can hear it, but I'm not listening to it. You know, not really paying attention to it or anything like that. And
yeah, but I think
3 hours,
people watched it.
Which is 3 hours now, so I started watching like an hour in so I can fast forward through all the stupid shit, which would probably be the AEW match, so. Could have missed it that way, too. And I heard Brock and Hunter wrestling at SummerSlam. Did y'all hear that Monday?
I heard it three times, actually. Over.
Is Brock and Sean are wrestling at SummerSlam?
Hunter.
Brock and Hunter?
Oh, Rock and Hunter. Oh, okay.
Huntor from the East. Huntor.
They showed three recaps of that whole damn thing. I'm glad I wasn't watching in real time. I fast-forwarded all that crap.
Yeah.
And the stage caught on fire.
Yes, it did. What a heck of a week for the WWE.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and start talking about
real quick, one other one was the tout by Lord Tensai. When he was driving, Sakamoto was driving him, and he said, "Very dangerous to be traveling with the Japanese person." Can you see the road? I think he said they have small eyes or something. Can you see the road? And
he's
right.
Going to get it
like
his
Twitter because it's actually videotape of it, so that's like 10 times worse, I think. So they had to apologize for that.
Well, you see those Japanese people; they can't drive. See. Ha, 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 you could blindfold them with dental floss. Jeez.
Oh,
I mean, I'm sure he was just joking with the guy he's riding with, and it wasn't that big of a deal, but, you know, once again, you can't do that in this day and age. You know, Bobby Heenan could get away with things and shit like that in the 80s, but fortunately, you can't do it now.
You know, here in the 80s. In the 80s, you had You had Roddy Piper whipping Mr. T with a belt and Jesse Ventura saying, "Look, my man, McMahon is Roots Part 2.
Oh.
Yeah,
you can't do that now.
Yeah.
Although, AEW did kind of make up for it when he yelled "Your mama" at Kofi and then threw his shoe at him. I thought that's funny as hell.
Tremendous.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
Said, "Your mama," and then threw his shoe. He said, "My bad, man, my bad."
Yeah.
I bet he knew he was in trouble.
No, he said, I'm playing or something.
I bet he was worried. I bet he never wanted that match to end, had to go backstage.
Right.
Yeah.
But let's
carry on.
I'm going to try for the fifth time to try and get to our next subject here, which is even worse than the heist, and that this is the whole Kamala affair, which is actually a very sad and is even shadier, if you can believe that, than our last story. Because, you know, you have three different stories and, you know, at one point or another, it's just screwed up. Basically what happened is Kamala, who's been having health issues for the last few years, has diabetes, and he lost both of his legs, I guess below the knee. I'm not too sure how high they go, but he's basically, he's in a wheelchair for life, basically. He's lost two legs, and, you know, he's a lot of the old guys, you know, they made money, but they didn't make the kind of mega bucks they do now, and then, you know, a lot of them didn't save or take care of themselves for the future, so, you know, he's kind of hard on his luck. So basically a couple of organizations decided to try and raise money, and then there's now all these questions of whether these people just used his name to pocket their own money, whether Kamal has gotten, you know, it's just gotten kind of ugly. And Katrir, you know, you grew up watching Kamala like I did. What is your opinion on this whole thing?
I don't. It's hard to say because, you know, he did that video, and I don't want to say anything bad about him really, but
it's hard to say anything bad because he is in a very bad situation. You know, but you got to, in that video, and I guess this is maybe the nicest way to put it, that video was very manipulative. You know what I mean? He had an agenda.
The video starts with her panning up where you can see he has no legs.
Yeah.
What it was.
Yeah, I mean, he played the sympathy card, you know what I mean? You can't blame the guy. I mean, I guess, I don't know, I'm not in his situation. I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm not missing my legs, but I want to say he took advantage of the situation, but he overplayed the, I mean, I don't want to say overplayed. He played the sympathy card to the max, where you couldn't feel anything but bad for him, which you should feel bad for him. But it just, the way it was kind of presented, it was just, you know,
here's a production.
It was kind of, yeah, it just, you know, it wasn't, I don't know, it just, you know, like I said, I don't want to say anything really bad about the guy because he's in a bad situation, but the video had a purpose. And the purpose wasn't just to bash the two people. There was a third purpose, basically, is what I'm saying.
And that's fine, you know, whatever, that's fine with me. I'm not going to say anything bad about the guy. He's down on his luck, do what you can, I guess. But,
yeah.
You know, and he came out against, I guess, Dan Marotti from the Millennium Wrestling Federation in Boston. I guess he's the one who worked John Cena's dad, right?
Real quick, because I'm not overly familiar with him, is he the guy who did the Iron Sheik interview? Because
I haven't got my DVD.
Did you order a DVD?
No, but I still ain't got it.
Okay. But a lot of people from the website did not receive their DVDs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's what the first, we think all that Sheik stuff on those shows came from that interview.
Yeah. Most of it, you can see most of it on YouTube.
And he's the one that works with John Cena's dad, right?
Yeah. John Cena's dad does work for his company.
Yeah. And, they had a thing on July the 15th, some kind of fundraiser for Kamala. And I got his statement that Marotti sent to the Observer. And he said that since July the 17th, 2012, which would be 2 days after they do this fundraiser, Kamala, James Harris has attacked both myself and the MWF over MWF Cares Day. It took place on the 15th. And I created as a birthday eye-opener for 7-year-old little Marotti, I guess that's his son, I don't know. So he can see that you can do a lot of good in the world if you set your mind to it. James Harris' texts and Facebook insults and attacks became a headache. Today I woke up to learn of a video he made with some degrading comments. It's time to set the record straight to wrestling fans around the world. Today it's time to separate James Harris, the wrestling superstar, and James Harris, a human being that's either very confused or a complete liar. And then he puts up all these pics of these, like, I guess money orders or something like that, and it's a whole big long story. I'm not going to go all the way into it. He's got it on his site here, and just if you go to his site, it'll just show you. There's a photo of a money order sent out July the 27th. You know, I don't know. I've never been involved with any kind of charity, so I don't know what it takes and dealing out the money when it's all done with. I don't know what red tape you have to go through for that. So, you know, I can't. It's like 15 days since 2 weeks since the thing happened. I don't know if that's too long or, I mean, you guys see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I
would imagine that most of it was like through PayPal, so you have to wait for the people to send it. You have to, you know, then you have to go and cash it. And I would imagine it takes a little time. I don't know how long, but it's usually charity things are nothing like they have the event one day and the next day you have your money. It doesn't really work like that.
Yeah. Sounds like this
and,
was four months ago this happened.
Yeah.
You know, it was 2 weeks. So I don't know, maybe if I don't know what happened. Maybe come on.
I don't think 2 weeks is out of the question to get somebody a check in the mail. I don't think that's out of the question at all.
But again, you know, Kamala could have just assumed that, you know, hey, they're going to have this thing and they're going to have the money that night and the next day the money should be mine. I can actually see him believing that, you know, but, you know, unfortunately that's not how it works. And then you got these dummies on the board who are like, well, why didn't he get all the money that was made and this and that? And it's like, how the fuck do you know what the fuck they made? You know, the auction basically... Yeah, they got stuff from WWE and TNA, but what they got was John Cena shirts. They got T-shirts. They got wristbands. They didn't get the fucking original Cass Bob Orton Jr. award that would make a lot of money. They didn't have the broken scepter from the Macho Man. They had basically shirts, wristbands, stuff like
they
that.
I think a Jeff Jarrett autographed guitar.
That might have been the most expensive thing. Like the shirts, they're not going to make more than the shirt is worth. They're going to make less, you know. So it's I can see where the check would only be $529 or whatever. That's probably actually pretty good for what the actual event was.
Yeah, and I'm not going to take sides one because I don't know what went on and I don't know who's telling the truth. You know, he put up a lot of stuff, and I'm not saying that he's proven that he was honest or whatever. I'm not saying that at all, but all I'm going to say is that when these allegations start in this business, people take it as gospel no matter what, you know. Even if you bring up, if you have proof that you didn't rip this person off, every time your name comes up, it's going to be, well, you ripped this guy off. That's just the way it is in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
All right?
And it didn't help that, the whole Iron Sheik thing didn't help this guy. So, I mean, he's already has like a strike against him. So, and he's a wrestling promoter, but you know what I mean? There was a check sent. I mean, at the very least, you know, he did send, money was sent to Kamala, you know. And like I say, it wasn't a whole lot, but for what it actually was, it probably was a thing. But you know what I mean? Maybe he wasn't, I mean, it's hard to say. I can't say that, he wasn't planning on sending anything and he only did it because Kamala made the video. I don't really believe that, but. You know, it's just, and then plus the thing that he wrote, just like Davey Richards, he did not make himself out to be likable. He's talking about Kamala is all pity me, and basically his statement is a pity me plea, because he's talking about his own problems. And then he referenced wanting to cut his own legs off with a saw. It's like, hello? I mean, think about who you're, you know, what the whole thing's about.
Oh, and then you go to the, I guess it was the Wrestler's Rescue that Dawn Marie was involved in, and her agent, Michelle Mupo, took to Twitter yesterday to respond to the allegations, and she posted three images, the first a check written to James Kamala Harris, the second a note from the bank showing that there was a stop payment made on the check, and the third showing the return of the check sent to Harris via certified mail. And then this is what she says. She says, people with diabetes live a long life because they follow a diet after they're diagnosed. How long do you know you had the disease? Like, trying to put it on him like it's his fault, he ain't got no legs.
It's just like the Dan Marotti making himself look bad. I mean, she just made herself look to be like the biggest bitch right there. You're basically, you know, it's not helping when you're returning fire in this kind of situation, especially from a charity organization. They should have to even, you know, I know, yes, it's bad publicity that they got, but they should have picked the high road. Now, this girl, Michelle Muffo, is basically, things that I've heard is she's pretty much a hard ass and kind of a bitch. She represents a lot of the women's talent. And basically, Wrestler's Rescue came into the news when, whether like there was the charges of fraud came out like a few years ago. And one of the main things was did she or did they, because the fundraisers were supposedly they were going to raise money to get Dr. Death a voice box, which he never got. He ended up passing away. People were like, I think I made the statement on the board about, you know, maybe since they didn't get the voice box, that money wasn't paid, and then that kind of spread, and they found out that, yes, money was given to the family, like a couple grand, not like a whole lot, but it's not like, you know, they really do raise a whole lot of money. It's like, I think people think, oh, if they're going to raise money, that they're going to raise tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars, but that's not really the case.
And, well, here's something real quick. Dawn Marie went on to accuse the Blue Meanie, who had spoken out against the group online, telling the story of how he had donated items to be sold for a fund designed to raise money for Jerry Lynn, only to learn that Jerry Lynn never received anything, and of trying to use the issue to get attention for himself, for Blue Meanie to get attention for himself. Now, if Jerry Lynn says that he didn't get anything, I'm more inclined to believe him than anybody else, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was going to bring that up. Blue Meanie's been on his Facebook for the past 2 weeks just blasting this charity. And I don't know anything about it. I stated, you know, before we even, you know, got into this topic, I don't know anything about the Wrestler's Rescue or even a whole lot about the Kamala situation. But to blast Blue Meanie because he, quote unquote, doesn't have a lot of Twitter followers, he wants attention, that's the stupidest excuse I've ever heard of in my life.
She says, I'm tweeting tweeting about you to my 600,000 followers, LOL.
Like I say, that lady's a bitch. Fair and simple.
That's unbelievable.
Davey's a dick, this lady's a bitch. And then, like, one of the guys is all like, where's Lance? You know, how can Lance, you know, be friends with her? Like, stupid shit like that. And Lance came out on this show, when this shit was happening the first time, and we asked Lance. Lance is like, I don't think Don would purposely, maliciously rip somebody off, but I can see where she would be in over her head, you know.
People act like he has access to the books at Wrestler's Rescue because he was managed by her 13 fucking years ago.
Right. And it's not like Dawn Marie's, you know, a highly educated person and knows how to do a business. She's basically doing something on the fly, and I can see where shit is not going to be run properly, because if you look at the list of people helping, you have like Missy Hyatt, the secretary, and stuff like that. And Missy Hyatt is a very smart woman. She goes to school. She is very smart. But people see Missy Hyatt as a secretary, the first thing they're thinking is like, what? You know what I mean? So it's just it's not properly run. It's not like sanctioned or whatever. And but they did report, and money was given to Dr. Dev's family. Now supposedly what the story is that they sent the check, and this was days after the Dan Marotti thing that they finally responded on Twitter and Facebook, and it wasn't Don, it's the Michelle Mupa, or whatever her name is, and she put, Kamala lied, the check was sent, Kamala refused it, okay, and then she posted a couple other statements, and then she posted the photos of the stuff. Now, one of the things that that really threw up a red flag is, if a check is returned to you, right, if he returned the check certified mail, why would they stop payment on the check? Why would they just tear it up? Or, you know, what? It's in their possession. It's not going to get cashed.
And another thing, why would Kamala give out his PayPal account address if he didn't actually need the funds? By the way, if you're looking to send Kamala any cash, he has a PayPal account set up. It's at jkamala@aol.com. jkamala@aol.com. You can send money directly to him through that address. Don't go through these other two organizations. Obviously, something's wrong.
Yeah, I think out of all of this, Rob Feinstein's the one that actually looks sane here. I think he came over
right.
With us.
Yeah.
That is actually kind of funny. But, I mean, it's just a really bad situation. I mean, everyone looks bad. Everyone made themselves look bad. You know, I don't really...
This is one of those things. This is why I don't care to donate to any charities or anything like that. Because, you know, you hear a couple of bad things that just turns you off. And even though there are good charities out there, but I don't know. It just turns me off donating money. I donate.
You really got to do your research on stuff like that.
Yeah, because I donate to the Humane Society because I prefer animals over humans. So
I have them take out like $7 a week, maybe $8. I forgot exactly what. Because every year I give a little more, but basically they take $7-$8 out a week of my checking to give to United Way.
Those kind of charities that you know that actually have a reputation like Red Cross or something like that.
But stuff like that, I mean, like, you know, it's like you know, someone makes the same into the Haitian thing with Wax of Jam, and that turned into a big debacle. And he's be smarter than St. Don Marie because he is a businessman. And look at what happened with that. It turned into to shambles. I mean, very little of that money was, you know, sent to help, you know. So... It's not an easy thing to do. Charities are not an easy thing to do. You know, I mean.
I'll only donate to the Humane Society because I do believe one day that the animals will be the masters and we'll all be on the leashes. I want it documented that I gave some money so I can be part of the New World Order or something of dogs.
But yeah, it's like I say, it's just a sad, sad story. I mean, it's one of these things where it almost makes you want to be ashamed to be a wrestling fan this week.
One more thing that pissed me off is that Marty's going on about how nobody in his brotherhood or people that worked with him would help him. The Rock wouldn't even retweet Kamala. Hulk Hogan wouldn't even retweet. And I hate when people call somebody out for not doing anything. Like, Vince should do something. Well, it's not
how do you even know The Rock even looks at his Twitter? He probably gets, like, hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands and, you know, probably has people looking at it for him, probably tweeting for him. He probably just tells, go and say this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I don't like when people say, you know, that guy didn't do anything. Well, he wasn't supposed to. It's not his responsibility. It's on like people when they call people out like that. I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, how are you to know what somebody...
up because somebody else didn't do something, but it makes them look better because they are doing something. It's fucked up. I don't like it.
Yeah, not everybody's glued to the internet and Facebook and Twitter like, you know, you are. So chill out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I say, that dude did not make himself look good in his response. I mean, he made himself to look like...
WWE even put him in contact with people that do prosthetics for, like, veterans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he mentioned that in his little thing on his website. So, I bet Kamala needs some money to just call Vince. Hey, this is going to hurt. Vince might not even know he has this problem.
It's very true.
Well, maybe because of all this, someone in WWE will hear, and maybe they'll make a private donation, you know?
I mean, it's not like they never helped anybody that wasn't working there before. I mean, you know, I mean, I know he paid for, one of, like, Bam Bam Bigelow's funerals, you know, back when he died. And,
if you listen to, like, the Terry Funk commentary on Beyond the Mat, he talks about this one, like older time wrestler who never worked for Vince, but his son, I forgot what it was, but it was something with his son. I think maybe he needed, like, some funding to go, like, compete somewhere. I can't really remember the story, but Vince paid for it. And the guy never worked for him, but he ended up finding out about the story, and he took care of it. So he makes... A lot of people kind of criticize them that they maybe don't do as much as they should, but they just don't promote anything. Like, and then people get mad when they do, like, the Make-A-Wish commercials or whatever.
Yeah,
that's a fraction of what they do. They should be allowed to promote that every once in a while.
people criticize, like, the thing with John Cena about he did his 300th wish. I said that should be noted. Should be noted. He did his 300th wish.
We should have knew about his 200, his 100, his 50. I mean, we should have known about that.
And that just tells you how hard that could do worse. That's 300 people you got to go see, you know, over the years.
Agreed.
People, whenever they see it, they sure sometimes people are going to put themselves over by putting, saying they do some good things. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. If it bothers you, then that's your problem. I don't care.
So when we were setting up this show, we had a little team meeting about this show to do this week, and I said, let's talk about robberies, and let's pick out some robberies in professional wrestling. I have one that I'd like to talk about. I know Contreras sent me a whole list of something he would like to talk about. Do we want to take the last 10 minutes here?
I'll go to the first one, Claire Lynch's panties.
Somebody robbed that robbery?
A ripoff. AJ Styles
okay.
Got your panties off.
Here's the robbery I was thinking of.
Oh, next had Missy Hyatt's panties. Never mind. Go ahead.
Anyway, one of the robberies I thought of, it was like the first one that came to mind. Shawn Michaels was wrestling the British Bulldog, and I'm a huge fan of Shawn Michaels. My favorite wrestler all time. Nobody could be any higher on my list than Shawn Michaels. But he wrestled the British Bulldog in Birmingham, England. And Davey Boy came out and said he was dedicating this European championship match to one of his family members who was sick. I can't remember which one.
Cancer or something like that.
Okay. So in the back, Sean pulls an audible and wants to go over. This is a standalone show. It's in England. Nothing was on the line, and it was for the European title. Yes, there was a European title at one time. This title meant less than nothing. But Sean pulled some shenanigans and ended up not only winning the match, but winning the title and as in his own words, starting something called the Triple Threat with Hunter and China at the end of the evening. And this was the biggest robbery because, let's be honest, the British Bulldog should have gone over and had the match.
This is not shortly thereafter.
Oh, yeah. And this was a horrible, horrible decision on Shawn Michaels' part, but also on anybody who agreed to it. One of the biggest robberies in professional wrestling, in my opinion.
This would have been like Ric Flair calling an audible in 1984 and saying he wasn't going to put Kerry Von Erich over to Parade of Champions or something like that.
Right. It was that.
Well, I think Ric Flair would have been smart enough to know that he probably would have left that building alive if he would have done that.
A lot of angry Texicans.
But they knew he was probably getting it back soon anyway. They ain't going to keep this belt on this goofy Von Erich guy. Another ripoff.
Ric Flair won the NWA World title back from Terry Von Erich. Terry Von Erich had his foot on the ropes.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. Watch the match.
Oh, yeah, the Japanese referee didn't know the rules or something.
No, watch the match, dude. It was he reversed the thing, and Kerry's foot is on the ropes.
Matt Cleary, you listening to this love for Kerry Von Erich.
Now, was it the prosthetic? Does that count for a real foot, though? That might not be the rule.
This is before the prosthetic, so it was the real foot.
Hey, Kerry Von Erich's foot, that's another ripoff. Got ripped off.
Jeez. Oh, Lord.
Cakes of Tech Beer. I got it down here. Cakes of Tech Beer. Another ripoff.
We were talking about robberies, not ripoffs.
Sting versus Jeff Hardy at Victory Road.
Okay.
Don't you think that counts as a ripoff, that main event, where he won in like 10 seconds?
Oh, yeah.
Because Jeff Hardy was fucked up?
That was a ripoff to the fans.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That was what
kind of rip off are we doing? Are we doing shoot works, whatever?
I'll tell you what. I put one over on them because Ed sent me a link on the computer where I could watch the show for free. So I put one to them.
So that's a rip off for the fans being ripped off.
Yeah, that's a rip off. That's Craig. Craig ripped off TNA.
Wendy Richter versus the Spider Lady.
That is a rip off because basically what happened on this is they wanted her to sign a new contract. And she's like, okay, well, I'll do it after the match. So I guess they figured this was going to go down because the Spider Lady was like, she was like a Lady Maxine type. She was tall, big, but not fat, but just one of those big, thick women. And then all of a sudden she's in the ring and she's a short, fat chick.
Yeah.
And then basically Moodle just like hooked her and pinned her and then
this is like the most awkward wrestling match I've ever seen.
It was
just very strange. Of course, the women back then, God almighty, there were some horrible women wrestlers.
Yeah.
Jesus, they were terrible.
Well, there were actually a few good ones, too. There were some good ones, but yeah, there were some bad ones.
Like, picked them up at the truck stop.
Hey, Naomi Kai and Judy Martin might not have been really good to look at, but they were actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Okay. But basically, Willow steals the title, and then the W is like that. Well, you know what? We don't want you anyway. So she was screwed because she didn't have a contract.
Well, the women's wrestling there was pretty much done until like Sherry came in for that little while, and
Wendy was still hot at the time. I mean, not as, she cooled off a little bit, but she was still a big deal.
Didn't seem much after Cyndi Lauper left. That's true.
Yeah, but she was still getting some little, I mean, it wasn't like it was dead. I mean, But yeah, they were pretty good.
We got 3 minutes left. They're on the plug call.
Let me do the boss here.
I'm just
anyway, open. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can only download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Like you could probably hear a show about the same topics we talked about, but it won't be nowhere nearly as good.
Great minds. So,
but anyway, everyone check out angrymarks.com.
I got one for Ed that he's gonna flip over and rip off right here. The not guilty verdict in the Jose Gonzalez trial.
Ooh.
That is one of the biggest ripoffs because basically the man got away with murder and it's fucking bullshit and the motherfucker should be in jail to this day or he should be fucking dead himself. And
not wrestling.
I can't say, it'd be easy to say, oh, if I ever saw this dude, I'd kill him. But
you weren't there.
At the very least, I'd spit in his face, slap him.
This is a story that made me never want to go to Puerto Rico.
Well,
I hear about all those riots they have and the matches over there and stuff like that.
Yeah, I want to go there as much as I want to go to Mexico right now. Come on.
Yeah. And then, it's such bullshit. And then, just the way everything went down, everyone got their subpoenas after the trial was over.
Yeah.
Everything was just screwed up, man. That is one of the most fucked up things ever because basically it ended up not just a wrestler's life, but, one of the greatest big men of all time. I mean, Brody was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it sucks.
What about the finger poke of Doom? Would that be a ripoff?
Not me. I laughed my head off.
You got 35,000 people in the.
All right, I'm with you.
That's
yeah.
like a WrestleMania sized crowd right there in that Georgia Dome, so can't even just kind of screw them over in the main event, I think.
Yeah, I can see where people would be pissed off because you expect way more from a main event than that.
And not like I was expecting this catch-as-catch thing between Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash, but, you know, still, if I had gone to the show, pulled my ass out of the house to go to this dome.
Oh, yeah. And we're out of our lifetime, but there is one rip-off, or almost, well, one rip-off I wanted to talk about is Eddie Gilbert ripping off Missy Hyatt from John Tatum. That was a rip-off.
Don't bring your girlfriend to the shows. Don't make her part of your act. That's a better one.
And speaking of fucked up shit in wrestling, of course, the next time something like that happened, we all know how that ended, unfortunately.
And then the next, hey, maybe it was the best for Missy to get away because, you know, several months later he was drinking and driving and got in an accident and killed somebody and I think killed the person that was with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a sad story. I don't like that at all.
Yeah. But I guess we should go ahead and end it with that. So.
Yeah, Wait, that was a rip-off, wasn't it? Let me go through my list real quick. Okay. Montreal, that's a rip-off. WCW versus NWO, that's a rip-off. Because they had WCW never got their comeback. Starrcade 97 main event with Sting and Hogan was a rip-off. The Observer shoot with False Rootin', we never got that. That was a rip-off. The last season... the last season of Tough Enough, that was a ripoff.
Oh,
who got fired? Vince Russo in 2000, he ripped off wrestling fans of their valuable time experience in life with the way he booked WCW for that last year. I was one of them.
Yeah.
I lost all that time in my life. Hulk Hogan and the Truth, Bud Sawyer's Wrestling School, the Wrestling Superstar Virgil sign, that's a ripoff. He's not a wrestling superstar. The valuable time people take out of their lives to complain about Zack Ryder's lack of a push. They're ripping off their own life expectancy, so that's my list.
Well done, Couture.
Cool. Well, we'll go ahead and end the show with that. So, everybody come back next week.
Oh, real quick, is Craig still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still there.
What would you think of Batman?
It was so amazing. I love that movie.
Did you see the whole? Did you see it yet, Dan?
Yes, I did see it, and I enjoyed the movie. But my God, it's the most overrated movie I've seen in years. There's no freaking action in it. It's a 3-hour movie, and there's no freaking action in it.
Are you kidding me?
I thought it was one of the best superhero movies ever.
There's two half-ass fight scenes in it. That's it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, Bane was a great character. I loved the twist at the end. I thought that was awesome because I didn't see that coming. I mean, that was really great, and I enjoyed the movie. But, I thought it was kind of it didn't live up to the expectations that I had for it.
Did you see the first two?
So, what do you guys have to say about it?
Did you see the first two Batman movies?
Yeah, I saw the first two.
And you didn't think the story all made sense at the end of that?
Yeah, at the end it made sense, but that doesn't make it the greatest movie ever because of it.
Oh,
it's not the greatest trilogy of all time.
That's for damn sure.
Lord of the Rings, or even the first three Star Wars. It's an overrated movie. It was good. I enjoyed it. But it is not what everyone... Ooh, Batman! Fuck that.
I thought the whole scheme with Bane and what they did to Gotham City was like a 5-star plot.
Awesome. Yeah, I
like
agree.
I say, the storyline, the swerve at the end, that was great. That was great. But as far as everything else, you know, that's fucking 5 minutes of a 3-hour movie. So I'm sorry, but it was not the greatest movie ever.
I had more fun
watching Avengers.
I agree. I think Avengers was a better movie, but I enjoyed the heck out of that movie. I thought Batman was very good. I thought it all made sense, and people that dump on it upset me. But
I like this Batman trilogy because
I'm not really dumping it.
I'm dumping more on the people who are overhyping the movie.
Okay. Well, Oliver Kopp didn't like it either. So, you know, hey, different strokes for different folks. I get it.
I think with a person like me, I can appreciate it a little better because I don't read the comics and all that shit, so I don't have to – I'm not trying to pair what I see in the comics to what I – seeing on the screen, I'm just watching the movie, even though, everybody loosely knows the whole Batman story pretty much. But but I'm not one of those big geeks saying, okay, this is wrong, and Robin had too many nose hairs, and this guy's hair was too long, or some shit. Did you see the Man of Steel trailer?
The what?
The Man of Steel trailer?
I'm over that. The Superman trailer. No, I'm not a big Superman fan, especially when the last one was so horrible.
Well, that was horrible.
I haven't seen that one. I gotta watch that one.
No,
watch it. Save
yourself some time.
The only thing I'm worried about with this new one is I don't think they're using the music. And that's like no bias for me.
Yeah.
You not use that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding.
That's like redoing Star Wars without the Star Wars theme.
Right?
Hey, I'm going to go watch the Black Keys.
I'm going to go watch Steamboat and Flair.
I'm going to watch the Black Keys live at Lollapalooza.
Well, unless Craig books a guest, we're talking some All Japan's Women Wrestling next week. Do your homework, Craig.
Okay, maybe I will turn off the Black Keys and watch some women's wrestling.
Hey, label next week's show like that 80s videotape, Planet of Slaughter.
It's not the name of the tape.
I just said the name of the tape.
I know.
I'll think about it. I just might now.
You better not. I will not take part.
Everybody come back next week.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Sabrina Man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit! Let's go hook him up!
Tonight.